This is the Assorted Digital Ramblings Podcast, brought to you by Click Through Marketing.
Hello, and welcome to the latest episode of the Assorted Digital Ramblings Podcast from Click Through Marketing. You've got me, Chris, your host, joined by Liv today. Hi, Liv, how are you?
Hi, good, thank you. How are you?
I'm all right, yeah, I'm good. We're a bit out of practice with doing podcasts, aren't we? We've had a bit of a break, so I even forgot what episodes were called, but we're back now. We're on it.
We're back. What have we been up to?
What have I been up to? I can't remember when we even last recorded. I feel like probably quite a lot went away to the lovely sunny Lancashire.
Nice.
Playing 2P machines.
What's Lancashire famous for? Pies?
Not much, really, is it? Don't know.
What is it? A Lancashire hot pot?
Yes, I did have a Lancashire hot pot though.
Nice. You didn't have one?
No. Loser. I had fish and chips on the beach.
That's good.
That's good. How about you? What are you going to?
Oh God, so much but so little at the same time. Oh, I was a bingo caller. That's probably my biggest claim to fame. I dressed up as Freddie Mercury in the I Want to Break Free video and got really, really pissed. And, got really, really drunk. Got really, really drunk and bingo called for St. Giles Charity.
I say you raised lots of money for a fantastic cause, didn't you?
Yeah, for a fantastic cause. One of our past guests, Beth, did I think it was like a 50k hike over the Sahara Desert. We were raising money for that and St. Giles. So it was a really good night. We had a great time, but also for a lovely cause. So that's big. Went on holiday. That wasn't very good. Not going to lie. That was rubbish.
Why?
We went to like a kids resort, but it was like all inclusive. So the parents were just like letting the kids off the leads and like run around the pool. Like, there was, like, a two-year-old running around the pool, no armbands on, and I was on the edge of my sunbed, like, thinking, oh, my God, I'm going to have to be, like, Pam Anderson here. I would have to save them. And the parents were just off getting drunk. So...
Nice.
Yeah. Oh, one more final thing, just to let everybody know. So when we got back from that holiday, we'd had the holiday from hell. Ellis, my partner, he was unpacking his suitcase, and he picked his clothes up out of his suitcase and a lizard popped out the suitcase with it and was running around the house. We've named him Lenny. He's probably dead now, but he was running riot for a few weeks, which was good.
What, you just left him running wild in your house?
Yeah.
Really?
But not in my house. I think he'd be
Dog food,
yeah. In Ellis's house.
But, so did you catch him and, like, take him to...
We tried. So me and Ellis said if we could find him the next day, after we saw him like the day after Halloween, and we said if we can find him tomorrow, we'll buy him an enclosure, because you actually have to ring the RSPCA because he might be venomous or dangerous to the local wildlife. But we said we'll keep him because otherwise they'll probably like kill him. But then we couldn't find him again. He hasn't been seen since, so we think he's probably dead or he's infecting the local wildlife. Either or, Meg, but yeah.
Good stuff.
Definitely.
And we've got some big news in the podcast today, haven't we?
We have.
Really big news. There's some really sad news. This is Liv's last podcast, isn't it, Liv?
Ever. Maybe not.
Well, maybe I'll come maybe back as a... Maybe you could be a returning guest, yeah.
But yeah, I'm leaving Click-Through. So I'm no longer allowed to be a Click-Through employee host of the Digital Ramblings, or co-host of the Digital Assorted Ramblings podcast, which is very sad.
I like how we've both in this gap forgotten what the podcast is called.
No, the Digital Assorted,
the something. So
definitely.
It's obviously very, very sad news that you're moving on, isn't it?
I've
had time to come to terms with it, but... I'll get all soppy with you again like I did at lunch. I'm actually really, really proud of the fact that you're going on to such an amazing role. So can we say what your role's going to be? Happy to say that?
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Why really have to say it?
Let's see if I get it right. You're going to be the global paid social lead at Jaguar Land Rover. Is that right?
Very true. Yeah.
So yeah, obviously very sad to see you leave the business, but really, really proud that you've got such an amazing role, and kind of really happy that Click3 can be part of that journey and help you to get there. So yeah, very mixed emotions. You leave, is it next Thursday, your last day?
Not next Thursday, Thursday after. So okay. Next Thursday is my birthday. Come on, listeners, what you gonna get me? and then the Thursday after is when I leave. So 2 weeks left today.
So we've got to cram one last podcast in, haven't we, to get rid of you?
To come out, yeah. Exactly. But yeah, it's been a pleasure. It really, really has. And I think what Click3 has done for me and my career has been monumental, and words can't even express how grateful I am to, you know, everybody. Like, everyone's had such a part in it. So yeah, I don't want to say too much because I actually will start blubbering, and that's just not going to make for good sound quality. But yeah, it's been a pleasure. It's just very bittersweet to be leaving now. Definitely. But anyway, should we start chatting about marketing before I start becoming a mess?
Yeah, we probably should, shouldn't we? We should probably talk a little bit about what's going on. So our first topic is the future of digital marketing. And obviously there's lots of instability in the world at the moment, isn't there? There's lots of, I guess, good and bad instability. So there's the bullet points you've got here: new technology, ongoing crises, political instability. You throw all of those things together, and I think digital's always been a market that constantly evolves. You know, one of the things we ask people in interviews, how do you stay abreast of changes? Because otherwise you're pretty much irrelevant within 2 years. But at the moment it feels like change is being driven even more by these external forces, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, how have you seen it? Have you seen much change in social with new technology? Has there been much out there?
There's constantly updates. But the thing is, it's so difficult to keep on top of them, specifically in like paid social. Like AI generated text and stuff is coming up on Meta, which is super exciting. Lots of different like dynamic ad formats that are coming that are based on like user behavior. So they're a godsend to what we do, because a lot, obviously, what we do is numbers and analytical based. So at the moment, we can be a lot more focused on those numbers and let the platforms do the heavy lifting, which is great. But there's so much other stuff that's coming out, like third party, that's really throwing a spanner in the works. So like lots of AI generated creative, but sometimes it's best practice, sometimes it's not, and it's a bit of a mixed bag with how you're gonna perform with that. Copy, I mean, I know that we spoke about it in a podcast donkeys years ago about AI generated text and how that's changing things, but that's having a big knock-on effect of everything. So it's a little bit weird, and I think I've got a very small view of it at the moment. But it is big. What about you from a top end side? Have you had lots of people like messaging and trying to sell in new AI products or anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, it's a hot topic, isn't it? AI, it really is. And I get messages every other day of people trying to sell us various things. Sometimes it's AI, sometimes it's other tools. I mean, the classic message you get, which I get literally 5 times a week, is, "Hey Chris, can I help you to have 10 to 15 extra leads for Click3 marketing every week?"
You got a dead exciting one the other day though, didn't you?
Did I? Exciting.
Yeah, you got a present.
Oh yeah, I got a present, yeah. I got a coconut, yeah. There you go. That's how good that this person's outreach was, that we're now talking about it on the podcast. Yeah, someone sent me a coconut in the post and said I'd be cocoa nuts not to work with them. I mean, I didn't work with them, but I did at least acknowledge them, which I don't always do. But yeah, I mean, to be honest, it feels like on the new technology front, it feels like that's really slowed down. So this time last year, ChatGPT was on everyone's lips, wasn't it? It was everywhere, AI. And whilst it still is, it feels like that pace of change has really slowed back down again. And I don't know if we're going to see another surge, because obviously everyone pretty much released the ChatGPT, exactly like the version 3.5, the one that everyone started jumping on. But it feels like everyone in a very short space of time, probably almost reactive, rushed out products, and, yeah. And now there's been a bit of a lull. I think there's probably going to be another rush because tech companies, you know, they don't rest on their laurels, do they? They'll be looking to how they can update their proposition. But it takes time. Definitely. Like development does take time. So it feels like loads came out at once. It was almost a little bit overwhelming of, like, this is going to redefine the way we work. The reality is it hasn't redefined the way we work. It's made us work a little bit differently.
And
then we've got all the other stuff going on that affects digital, and probably the big one, and we were talking about this with Regan, who is the mastermind of the podcast, while you were on Trite getting the app installed, like cost of living is still, you know, that's still having a massive impact on digital. And, you know, Regan gave the example of one of his friends where the mortgage went from £700 a month to £1,200 because they had to renew. And you just think, like, how's the average household supposed to just take that hit? Yeah, and obviously what you stop spending on essentials. The fact that everyone cuts their spending impacts everyone's marketing budget. I mean, 30% seems to be the magic number at the moment. We seem to have so many people coming to us saying we've had our budget cut 30% next year.
Really?
Yeah. And
it is mental. Like, I was talking about it with some clients the other day, obviously over Black Friday, where I said we've had a pretty skewed Black Friday for the past 4 years. Like, four years ago, normal Black Friday, but then the year after COVID, the year after that COVID, the year after that, like, wars, COVID, renewal, cost of living. And then this year, it's like we're trying to get over COVID, you're trying to get through a cost of living crisis, you're trying to navigate, like, the world where it's in, like, a really, really buggered up time. Mm. And it's so difficult to compare results and have, like, that variable that you can pick out and say it's because of this, because the obviously times are changing forever, but I feel like before it just seemed like we were having quite a normal time, and now everything just seems to be like Corrie all the time.
There is no normal at the moment, is there? No, unfortunately.
No, definitely not.
And I think that, you know, the next 12 months is going to be tough because there could be an election in that time as well. I can't remember the exact time frame because we're getting pretty close to it being mandatory. So there could be a general election, there could be a change of government. Cost of living is still going to be there. Who knows what's going to go on in Ukraine, Israel, Palestine, all that sort of stuff. We've got the energy companies that are profiteering from this situation, it seems. So I think the next year is going to be tough. I think the only positive in working in digital is that it should, for me, be one of the last channels you touch because it's so measurable. And it's so integrated into people's lives now as well. Like, if you're not really digital, I don't know, you might as well not exist, I think. But
definitely.
It's so measurable as well. So if you've got a squeeze on budget, then you've got a very, very clear view of which channels are the least effective, the most effective. Obviously, you've got to think about the whole funnel and stuff that's top of funnel and what have you. So it's not as simple as that. But you would hope it can weather the storm more than most. Like, you see, I don't know if you saw, is it Reach PLC that runs loads of, like, the local publications, laid off loads of the journalists because their advertising revenues is, like, so far down. So, like,
really?
I think some of the channels have probably felt it even more so than us. Like, we've felt the last year to 3 years, really, has been challenging. Yeah. But I think some of the other mediums are feeling it even more.
Definitely. I think from, like, a brand marketing, that's never going to die because I feel like brand's the actual most important thing that you need as a brand. But, like, print marketing, television marketing, video on demand marketing, and, like, anything else that's just BAU, like, offline PR, I would be absolutely shaking, like, something because of what's going on. Like, I just think it just introduces so much like insecurity in what you're doing, because you don't know what you're doing and what you're up against. Whereas I feel like we are in quite a privileged situation in digital, because we're on the top of a hill where we've like, we have a view of most things that are going on from a business perspective, and also like the macro environment outside of brands.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Horrible.
And obviously, there's been loads of chat and speculation around AI, hasn't there? And you're obviously yourself still a relatively new marketer, aren't you? You've been doing this for 4 or 5 years. Do you ever fear kind of being irrelevant and AI taking your job? Is that something that's in your head, or do you not think about that?
Oh my God, 100%. I fear that it's going to take me away as a daughter and a girlfriend. Like, I just think it's coming on so quickly. I know I asked you the other day, Chris, like, do you think that digital marketing in agencies will be around much longer because of AI, because of in-house and because of everything? Like, I know that you said yeah, but I think it's still such a valid fear to have that, you know, the software that these geniuses are developing is so advanced that, like, I could ask it a question. Like, I asked it to write me a quiz the other day, and it just wrote a quiz in a minute, and I was like, what the hell? Like, it still surprises me every single time they do it. And I'm still being super polite, I hope you are as well, to ChatGPT and everything. I still say please and thank you, and if they don't get it right, I'm like, oh, come on. Not that one, but something else.
I do occasionally lose my temper with Google Home now, when it won't turn off.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
My family tried to, you can change your Google Home name, or is it Alexa name? You can like call them like Christy or something. My family tried to change it to Wench. she wouldn't allow it. Sure. She would not allow it. No, she didn't allow it.
She's got too much self-respect.
What about you in senior leadership? Do you ever think that, you know, you could, I don't want to say be replaced, but like a large part of your job could be taken away by like AI software that's, I don't know, making bigger decisions. Like, in fact, that's a good segue. Have you seen the thing about that school in Wales that now has an AI headmistress?
No, I haven't.
So there's like a co-headmistress and a co-headmaster. The headmistress is AI and the headmaster is a real person. Mm. But apparently there's a lot of say from this AI-generated woman. And there's like a picture of like her talking, and it's like, hey, students, do this, do this, do this. Do you ever reckon you could be in that position from a management senior leadership perspective?
Oh, I'd love to replace myself with AI. I could just go on holiday. Just turn the AI and disappear. No, I've not seen that story. I did see the one, there was an agency, I think up in Manchester or Leeds, I can't remember, and they tried to use AI as a personal assistant. And
oh, really?
Yeah, I kept thinking she was real. She'd say, oh, yeah, I'll come out for drinks tonight. And then a reminder, you're not real. And she'd kind of say, oh, okay. In the end, I think I had to turn it off because it got a bit weird. But no, I mean, I think for me, like, you've got to embrace the change, really. You've got to embrace just what more you can achieve if you harness AI into the way you work. I can't remember if I said this on a podcast or a webinar, but automation's not new. I mean, AI is effectively just a posture for automation, isn't it? And, you know, in paid search, automation's been out for probably 10, 15 years. And there was the same scaremongering back then around, oh, you'll be out of a job, because you could use one or any number of tools that would virtually manage. It wouldn't manage your account for you, it would do a lot of it. But people still exist in those roles. It's just what you do becomes different. And I think that's how we've got to adapt, really. If there's anything AI can do that a person can do, but they can do it faster and better, well, you should embrace that. But yeah. I was just gonna say
I constantly have to explain to my mum and dad like how things are changing and like what's ChatGPT. So my auntie is very, very like up on what's happening. So like she'd come in at Christmas and she'd be like, hee hee hee, who are all the reindeers? And then like she'd show my dad, and my dad was like, what's this witchcraft, like crazy. So I keep on trying to explain to them. And the way that I explained it is, have you ever watched Charlie and the Chocolate Factory?
Yes.
Do you know the second one where Mr. Bucket works at the toothpaste cap factory and he's putting all the toothpaste caps on mm-hmm. manually? Instead, now they've got that machine, but he just manages the machine, which is exactly what we've got to do.
Yeah, absolutely. If there's bits that AI can do better than you, then let it do it. I think the important thing to recognise is what AI can and can't do. If you just try and automate everything, it's going to go horribly wrong because it's still relatively, like, in its infant stages, isn't it, this technology? It's still learning. Like, sometimes you use these tools and they're the stuff they spit out is rubbish, absolutely rubbish.
Yeah, definitely.
And, you know, they're still having to learn the language we use, don't they? Because, like, English in particular is, like, such a...
Crazy.
And there's so many nuances to it. And it's even like, if you ask AI, where's the best place to buy an apple? Do you want one to eat or do you want one to make a phone call? And like, it's good. It takes time for it to learn intent and stuff like that. So
yeah, definitely.
I think it's still relatively junior. I've had a few experiences using more so ChatGPT. I've just given up because I've asked it a question. It's spat out something totally different. I've asked it again, it's spat out something in the end. After asking the question three times, it was about a book and asking it to summarise a book. But it was just, and the book's called Traction. Or asking it to summarise a part of it, but it kept talking about traction engines. I was like, no, the book written by this person, they made a traction, and in the end, it's sort of, this isn't going to work.
There's no originality in it as well. Like, if you ask it to do something, it just crawls the internet and it finds out the best answer. But, like, if I asked it a question and then you asked it the exact same question, it'd give the exact same answer because it's only using what's in front of it. It's not using, like, organic thinking and, contextual information.
There's been a lot of chat about, like, use AI to write all your website copy or... If everyone did that, every website would be virtually identical within a year because the AI will amalgamate everything that's out there and spit something out. And based on the way you interact with it and what prompts you give it, you'll get slightly different answers.
Yeah.
But it's all going to be fairly similar. Same with, like, if you try and use it for creativity, really all it's going to give you, and I've tried this before, obviously, to ChatGPT, as I said to it, give me 10 ideas for LinkedIn posts based on digital marketing. And it gave me 10. But obviously none of that is original because it's not capable of original thought. That was just an amalgamation of stuff it found and it regurgitated. So,
yeah. I found out the other day, Stephen Bartlett does not write his own LinkedIn posts.
He's got someone that does it for him, hasn't he?
I know. I was devastated. I follow that man. I don't even like him all that much. I think he's a bit of a insert swear word there. but I really liked his LinkedIn post and I really like him on Dragon's Den and I think he's such an inspirational person. And then I was on TikTok and she was like, day in the life of a social media manager for Steve Barton. Mm-hmm. And she says, I've spent 8 hours today writing LinkedIn posts. And I was like, what? So my inspiration is coming from a 17-year-old apprentice that's writing about, like, how... And you know, it doesn't detract from how important what they're saying is, but I don't know, I feel like it has so much more power coming from someone that's been through the trenches themselves. I don't know, it really upset me.
Yeah, I mean,
he's
probably given them topics, isn't he? He's probably saying posts about this, and this, but, yeah. Ultimately, that's probably true of lots of people's social media profiles, isn't it? Look at most sportsmen these days, they're highly managed by somebody else.
Which
means there's no authenticity, isn't it?
Definitely. I'd love to be a celeb, but, like, oh God, I just couldn't even imagine not being able to, like, post what you want because it must just be a really, like, difficult realm to be in, 100%, 100%.
I mean, I think the other thing that AI is going to struggle with is that marketing is ultimately about people, isn't it? It's about trying to appeal to people. And I don't think, try as you might, I don't think a piece of software is going to understand people as well as another human can.
A person, yes. Yeah.
And I think those nuances, it will never get, unfortunately.
Do you think? Do you not think we'll get to that point where, like, a robot will understand facial expressions and body language and things like that so it can get to that level? Because I really think it will.
I think it might get a fair chunk of the way there. I don't think it will.
Never.
I don't
never
think,
it.
I don't think it'll ever be able to do it as well as another person can. No.
If someone that you know and that you don't mind naming turned out to be a robot and an AI-generated robot, who would you be least surprised at?
Ooh. I mean, we'll have to talk in work terms, won't we? Because otherwise...
Yeah, you can't just say I'm an Auntie Janet.
Yeah. That's not going to work. Who would least surprise me if they're a robot?
Mine is, and I'm going to say it to his face as well, Alro.
Do you know what? That was the name of my lips as well.
Alro. Yeah. He loves AI. He's plugging stuff all the time as if it's like on a script. Alro.
Yeah, that was the name on my lips, but I was trying to think of anyone better. The other one that wouldn't shock me if it was a robot was Jack Fisher.
Oh my god, definitely.
Team. He's pretty.
He's pretty robotic.
I was going to say he's pretty steady, isn't he? Like it is.
Yeah. Definitely. Definitely. Love that. Love that. But even Alro and Jack has, I mean, I think it's such a compliment because it's just showing how genius they are. And like, you know, they know everything and they're an epitome of knowledge, but they still have everything that a computer doesn't. And that's like emotion and, you know, being able to pull and push back dependent on reaction and body language. And yeah. Maybe. I hope robots can get to it one day, but then I feel like that's where it becomes tricky territory and robots take over and we're then buggered.
Yeah. And I don't think that's going to happen in our lifetimes. And I think the problem is with all this, with all new tech, the stuff that grabs headlines is the sensationalising of it, isn't it? So Elon Musk comes out and says nobody will ever work again unless they want to. It's like, well...
Fantastic.
It's probably,
thanks for that, Elon.
But it's probably not true, is it? Like,
yeah. You still need people to work at shops and stuff. That sounds really shallow, but like...
Imagine if you went into a shop and it was just a robotic helper and a self-serve till.
My God, definitely. Who's going to look after... Who's going to be a vet? Like, who's going to look after... Like, I know it sounds silly, but like, muck out horses?
Yeah.
Like, you've got jobs that you need to do... And a robot's not going to do them? Or AI can't do them?
Well, you go to a nice restaurant, you know, I've been to... So we have a Michelin star restaurant in Lichfield. You ever been to Upstairs?
Oh, I really want to go, but I can't get... Well, to be fair, 2024 bookings for December are opening next week, so I'm going to try and book in.
It's like Glastonbury, you get about a 30-second window to book in. You know, I've been lucky enough to go there twice. And part of the thing that makes it is the service. Like, the staff are so friendly and so knowledgeable about the food, about the wine, all that sort of stuff. And I just think, will that be the same being delivered from a robot? Absolutely not. And like, you know, my wife had a bit of a crush on Tom Shepherd because she'd been watching him on Great British Menu.
He
came out and had a chat with us and sat with us for 5 minutes. It's like, you can't replace that at all.
Yeah.
You absolutely...
The personability.
Yeah, you absolutely can't replace it.
It's the excitement afterwards. Like, even you speaking about it now, I don't know, actually. I was just going to say, you wouldn't be like that excited if you spoke to a robot, but I think you probably would. Like, have you seen... Oh, I went to Milton Keynes the other day. Have you seen them little robots that, like, Uber Eats use?
I've seen pictures of them. I haven't seen them actually in the flesh. Yeah, it's just
crazy.
I can't believe that someone hasn't just picked one up and stolen it, though.
They probably have. There's a man that made in America, same vibe. He made, like, robots that... when people steal parcels from porches in America, he made a robot that releases like fart spray in the room when it's like there and sends up glitter bombs.
I've seen it on TikTok. Yeah, I love that guy. I mean,
yeah, ditto.
He puts a lot of time and energy into
it. I can't even imagine how much they cost. Yeah, Can you imagine? But yeah, when I saw one of those little... I don't even know what they're called. One of those little birds. I was ecstatic. But, yeah. I do know what you mean about the personability element. And, you know, we've spoken to Tom Shepherd and it was really, really great. And, yeah, I just feel like it's going to be so different in, like, 20 years' time. What is the world going to be like? And what is the, you know, the motive going to be across the planet? Is there going to be loads of robots running around and they're doing, you know, like your personal assistants? Oh, God, it's crazy to think about, isn't it? Crazy to think about. How much do your, and I hope you don't mind asking, your children know about robots and AI and stuff? Have you told them?
No, not much, to be honest, at the moment.
Is that a weird question? I feel like in my expectation, you'd be like, robots are coming.
No, we haven't really talked about it, but you can, I mean, obviously it's quite a long time since I was in the education system, but you can start to see how technology is being integrated. Yeah. You know, like the school gave them all an iPad, which just blew my mind. I just got an iPad from school.
For context,
and, you know,
we did
go on that and do things like things called like Numbots and TT Rockstar. So it's all like they can practice the times tables and the maths, but just do it on this app and there's a leaderboard and it's gamified and you get stickers and you get. Gracie's built a robot in the one called Numbots because every so many levels you get a body part. And one Friday night, she was literally just flying through these levels. And I'm like, it's Friday night. Do you not want to do maths? But she was loving it.
Really? Yeah. Oh, I love that, though. That's really lovely. But I know you just mentioned about iPads. For context, we did a digital marketing skills day at a local high school, and every single student had an actual iPad, not a tablet, an actual iPad. And that they didn't have pens and paper, did they? They just used that. Do you know what I found really interesting about that day, though? They didn't know what ChatGPT was.
No, and given that this is a generation that's grown up with, like, the internet and social media and all that sort of stuff, like, we had to, I guess, really probe them and push them to think about digital marketing, didn't we? Like it's almost like they've obviously received digital marketing their entire lives. It's not like me where I grew up and, like, we genuinely didn't have the internet until I was about 14 or 15. They've grown up with it, but you were talking to them about digital, and all they really thought about really was influencers, wasn't it? Like every single group was like, I'm going to get Tommy Fury as my influencer, I'll get Tyson Fury, I'm going to get Molly May. I just can't even remember who they were talking about. But yeah, they were so unaware of the fact that they've probably been advertised to for their whole lives, like every website they go on. But there's almost a disconnect, whereas, I don't know, advertising when I was a kid was a lot more in your face because it was, right, we'll stop your programme. Here's an advert at the start of the programme again, or you drive down the road and there's a billboard or the radio's playing a song and it stops. And I don't know, advertising now clearly is a lot more seamless, I think.
I think it's really good though.
Do you think that's a good thing or a bad thing?
I think it fits into your day-to-day life and you don't know it's there, but it's subconscious. So, I'm only thinking of it from a paid social perspective. So, like, if you see an ad and then you look at it and you think, oh, no, 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 and scroll past, and then you end up buying that thing. That's because of paid social? Well, I'm being a bit arrogant to the powers of, but I think, I don't know, I think it's good that it's not in your face because then it doesn't become spam. Like, there's so much advertising that I see that I'm like, oh, go away now. Like, you're done. Whereas, like, if you don't even know you're seeing it, I think it has so much more power. But
I don't know. We're getting into a deep ethical question here, aren't we? But is it better? Because it's almost like subliminal then. It's subconscious, isn't it? Is that better or is that worse?
I don't know. I feel like it's the psychology of marketing, though.
We used to be able to walk out of the room and get a drink when the adverts came on the telly and you time it just right so that the programme's coming back on now. Like, you can't escape it, can you? You can't.
Yeah.
You could flip the radio station. But I don't know, it feels so more seamless in your life, and I don't know if that's good or bad.
I think it's good for marketers, it's bad
good,
for
good
people.
Good for marketers, bad for the human race, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I remember when I was first introduced to advertising, I was shown The Truman Show in English. And that's how, like, this is
all
what
the,
we do. Because normally
placement.
you look at ads and you're like, oh, yeah, okay, cool. And then, like, when you get actually, this is the point, companies are trying to make money from you, then it's like, oh my God, like, you're like a guinea pig.
Yeah.
like you, everyone just wants to watch you scramble to buy stuff. Like, it's crazy. But as a marketer, it's like we're the man now. We're the
we are that person trying to exploit the way you think about
Exactly. Everyone else has the answer. Yeah. We've got the magnifying glass. So yeah. I don't know. It feels a bit of a power play, but yeah, crazy stuff. I think from a client perspective, though, it's really important from our position to have a look at how we influence them to use AI, because I think there's so many different ports of call for them to just use AI to do stuff and think it's going to be, you know, cutting corners and getting the best, you know, quality of work out of stuff. Well, actually, I think from our perspective, people versus AI, people are always going to win. Like, obviously not from a time perspective, but from a personable, things that people can read, people, you know, things that people can engage with, it's always going to be something that can be created by someone who gets what they're selling rather than the computer. That was a lot of waffle for not a lot of point, but I think it's really important how we, as marketers and as people specifically within an agency, just put that message across to clients 100%.
And are you seeing AI kind of redefining how you use your time? Has it had that impact on you yet? No.
Out of work, yeah. In work, no. I feel like I'm busier than ever. And I don't know. When it comes to, I think, a large part of the creative side of my job, specifically my job anyway, is copy and you know, anything with words, which I love speaking, but I hate writing. So I use it so much for that, and that just saved me a lot of time. But when it comes to, you know, writing emails to clients and going through reports and stuff, I always think it adds a little bit of inauthenticity if you do it through ChatGPT or anything of the like. And I feel like I type and speak in such a specific way that if I did do it over ChatGPT, you'll be able to tell straight away.
Yeah.
Like, I would never say, I can't think of a word, trajectory. One, because I can't say it. I can't spell it. But, like, it's not in my vocab. So, I don't know. I try to avoid it as much as possible. What about you?
Little bits and pieces. I use it sporadically. I wouldn't say I have like set tasks that I by default use ChatGPT for. But you know, sometimes I sometimes use it rather than Googling now. So
yeah.
If I need to like understand, if it's to understand something, I'll ask ChatGPT to explain the concept of this to me. Because then you can, the reason I prefer it over searching is because then you can kind of say, okay, tell me a little bit more about this bit, and then it expands. Like, you can't really do that with Google. And you say, all right, tell me about, explain what this sentence means again, but make it, do it like you're talking to a 10-year-old. Or, you know, you can almost kind of converse with it, which you can't with a search engine. I don't have set things that I always use it for, but I do use it from time to time. And I think the key thing, like, I think we're all still finding our feet with AI, aren't we? I know we've got an AI strategy as an agency as to when you should use it and when you shouldn't. I think that's important, because I think something you can't really have is, like, we're 50 people or however many, everyone going off and using it differently, or some people doing this through AI, some people not. And I think there's a danger to that. I think as a business, particularly with your marketing, you've got to be quite prescriptive with your people. Like, if people in client-side roles, if your team are suddenly using ChatGPT to write a copy for a page and you don't know, it could be very dangerous, because it could be totally out of tone of voice and all this sort of stuff. So I think one of the key things is being really prescriptive of, this is what we use it for and this is what we absolutely don't use it for.
Yeah, definitely. What about, have you heard of any companies experimenting with AI during work, other than the AI headmistress and the AI personal assistant? Have you had any other things that popped up that you thought, oh my God?
No, I haven't, but I have thought of one thing that I really wish someone would invent, and it probably does exist. I wish there was an AI plugin in Outlook that you could just say, phone me a 30-minute meeting slot with these people.
Oh, my God.
The amount of my week that I spend looking, trying to find slots in calendars is insane. So if anyone listens to this, just find me on LinkedIn and say, there's a tool that does that, and this is what it's called.
Because it Do you know what I actually really think? The defo is one already.
There almost certainly will be one. Yeah. We used to have one in my last job. It was like an automated virtual assistant. It wasn't something we built. I think it was a Microsoft tool, but it was useless. Like, it would book a meeting in for you on a Saturday afternoon. You'd be like, yeah, there's a reason we're all free then, because we don't work Saturday.
So there's one called, like, Chili Pepper or Hot Pepper or something. I don't know what it's called, but that's meant to be quite good. But I think that's for, like, offering out your calendar for other people. I'm free now.
There's loads of those where you can say, like, again, it's a sales thing. You put it in, book a meeting, and people can just go and find a time. But that just connects to your calendar and tells people when you're free. You need one.
I'd hate that.
Merges 8 different people's calendars and finds a free slot.
Yeah, that would be vile. That would be vile. Because I don't know about you, sometimes I mentally sort my calendar out to be like, okay, that's when I'll do that, and that's when I'll do that. And if someone just put a random meeting in, I think I'd just be like, go away.
I do that, but I literally block it in my calendar. If there's things like, right, I definitely need to do that Monday morning, I'll put it in for an hour and then the next thing for an hour. Just so people don't book meetings when you've got things you want to do.
Yeah, definitely. I've just thought of something massive that we've absolutely bypassed.
Go on.
Black Friday.
Yes.
Just been.
Yeah.
Did you buy anything?
No. Oh, sorry, hang on.
Normally you buy tat, don't you?
Did
you buy last year?
Nothing.
I'm sure you bought something weird, like a rice strainer or something. That's not that weird.
No, I think I'm genuinely very, very buy anything on Black Friday. Just because I think a lot of the deals are cons. You know, like you go on Amazon and it's like, 20% off. And actually, it's not 20% off at all.
We need to retract that statement, Chris, because we work for Digital Marketing Agency. So retract.
Well, our clients obviously don't run deals.
Just ours.
Everyone else's do, yeah. Until you work for us. Yeah. So no, I don't think I bought anything. I nearly bought a TV, but...
Oh, that's good. I always feel tech deals are quite good, actually, on Black Friday, but yeah. I also didn't buy anything this year, which is very unlike me, because I am a shopaholic.
And I've known of people that have, like, genuinely had a shopping list ready for Black Friday, ready to get the deals and to buy, but I'm not that organised.
No. I heard a really interesting stat about Black Friday on Amazon, and it was that Amazon's Black Friday traffic and sales figures dropped by 30% this year. Yeah, and it's because they've introduced their own Black Friday periods, which is like Prime Week or Cyber Week, where they do their own, like, now they're their own little separate organic solar system where, like, you go there and they have different sales, which I think's crazy. But then I feel like everything, like, every single week of the year is going to be a different sale period, and it's all just going to lose point.
It loses its value a bit, doesn't it? I mean,
definitely.
When I was a young boy, it used to be the January sales. It used to start on, like, January the 1st, January 2nd, and then they crept forward to the next Boxing Day sales. Now, and, you know, that used to be a big deal. Like, the shopping centres will be heaving on Boxing Day.
What would you buy? And that isn't me being nasty about your age. Like, when you were younger, what can you remember in January that you'd want to buy?
Stuff like clothes and, you know, stuff.
Coal for the fire,
yeah, that's it. A new bridle for the horse that we had to ride to the shops on.
Of course,
A new slate and chisel to write our notes on. All that sort of stuff. But it just feels like sale used to be like a really big deal.
Big thing.
And now it feels like they're virtually non-stop, doesn't it?
I think capitalism's really, really popping off and it needs to slow down a bit because otherwise it's going to have no point into what we're doing. We're just going to be like, everyone's going to realise it's a scam. It's not a scam, but...
Well, yeah, it makes it less of a big deal, doesn't it? And yeah. I think if Amazon's seen a 30% drop, it's really interesting because, yeah, they have Prime Week, they have that a couple of times a year, don't they? Which is just their own thing. I just think, I don't know, maybe consumers are wising up to it, maybe. And the other thing is, are you just delaying your demand until you're on sale? Like, if you're one of those brands that's always got a sale going every other month, you'd be pretty daft to buy in a normal period, wouldn't you?
Definitely. I know brands, though, that, you know, we've worked with in the past that have a sale 24/7, and they are known as that brand. And I think it really, really affects people's, like, opinion of the quality of your product. Like, if you are the brand that's always known to be on sale, you're going to be known as being crap and, like, wanting to get rid of your stock. But I think it's such a different... Because you also don't want to be seen as, like, being tight and not putting sales on. So I think it's such a tricky line to walk.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah, it is. Absolutely. I totally agree with you. And how was Black Friday on the front line this year?
Really good. Really, really good. I know that some of our clients are absolutely chuffed. It's been like internally record-breaking for them. So it's absolutely amazing to see those type of results. But others have been struck by competitors and other people cracking on to the fact that there was a sale last month. Why are you on sale again? So it's been a bit of a mixed bag, but I think it's my personally third year in the business doing Black Friday, and this has been the best experience. I wouldn't necessarily say results, but I think it's because what we mentioned earlier about, like, lots of different variables being considered. But I think it's really good.
Lockdown Black Friday would probably never be topped with it because people didn't really go to the shops, and that was the resurgence of we're allowed outside the year after.
Yeah. I think Black Friday is lovely as well, though, because lots of people come into the office and you can basically just watch the amalgamation of a year's work all come in to play in a day. And it's really emotional, like, not cry emotional, but just sort of like, I always feel an immense, like, feeling of pride of, like, over myself, but also, like, the team as well. I think it's just incredible that sometimes I think we forget what we do and how much work we put in. Black Friday was very, very good this year. Very, very good. And we all went out after, which was very lovely too.
Yeah. And you all had pizza for lunch.
We all had pizza for lunch, which was very lovely too. And we met Chris's dog now.
Yeah. We popped in the office to say hello and... Coincided with pieces of it. Well, I've got the time of this one. Good. Right. Should we look ahead to 2024?
Yes.
Do you think voice search? So if I go back like 15 years, every year Google told us, it's the year of the mobile, year of the mobile. I'm like, yeah, right. It feels like it's now voice search is the new year of the mobile.
I don't get what a voice search is. They're like, as in, hey Siri, show me this.
Yeah, so do you know how to use it? I use it a bit. You go on my phone, instead of typing, I just talk to it and say, how old is David Beckham? Was something I asked it yesterday. 41, apparently. No, 47. I can't remember. Do you never do that? Do you never talk to your phone instead of typing?
I do. I've just realised how much I do that. And Ellis, oh my God, he hates it. I'll be in the car and I'll just go, da-da-da-da-da, what is a baby fox called? And he's like, just type it. And I'm like, right, you having the points on your licence, I'm driving. And, like, I actually do love it. I've just realised how much I love it.
Do you think it's going to significantly change the way we do our jobs?
No.
Do you not?
Definitely not. No, because I think it'd be so difficult to... change the way we market. You'd have to change it per region. Like, I would ask a question differently to how you'd ask it, and we live only like 10 minutes away from each other. Do you know what I mean? So, like, can you imagine the
but do you not think from like a search perspective that the things people are putting into Google are going to be a lot more conversational. Because if you were to say, if I want to know what's a baby fox called, if I was typing it, I'd just type baby fox. Whereas if I was talking and say, what's a baby fox called? Ultimately, the intent's the same, but the search you put in is very different, isn't it? And I wonder if, I wonder if the long tail is going to get even longer, because if you're talking, you're going to put more in than if you
ramble
type.
On.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I know that Google have been testing at the moment a little voice. I don't know if it's something, but like a readout element. Mm. So like someone put in, what is a baby fox? It then has like multiple options, like, have you tried searching this? And then it reads out the answer. And I know that that's like in beta going to different people's computers. I haven't got but it's probably because I'm not clever enough to search what comes out.
Because you only search about baby foxes, that's right.
What is baby fox? You literally. What about you? So you said you use it quite a lot.
I use it quite a lot, yeah.
Do you use it because it's interesting, or do you use it because, and I don't want to say laziness, but like ease?
It's easier, yeah. I can't be bothered to type it. And I also like don't even use search engines as much anymore. So if I'm in the kitchen, I just ask the Google Home. So I don't go on my phone, I just ask it. So I don't even visit the Google webpage. And as I said before, I start to use, like, more so Bard as a search engine.
I've never used Bard.
So, for example, I just went on Bard and was looking to buy, I think it was a computer game for the Switch, because I'm still playing computer games at the age of 41. Don't care.
Nice.
Not ashamed of me too. So I just said to Bard, like, where's the cheapest place I can buy this? And it just sent me the link. It's here.
Do you struggle with... Does it do it regionally, though? Does it say, like, buy my location?
It was giving me UK based results. So I might have had to put it in the UK. I can't remember. But I think that could be something that people need to start factoring in, is making sure that you're compatible with Bard finding you, which ultimately we'll use. It's just, I guess it's ultimately just an interface with the Google search interface, isn't it? It's just a different way of doing it. But. Yeah, that's my changing searching habits.
TikTok as a search engine?
I've never used TikTok as a search
engine. Really?
But I know it's a thing now. I know it's taking off. I've never done it myself.
I've got a big figure for you here, but it's not just a fact. TikTok, no, wait, beauty and beauty searches is now bigger on TikTok than it is on Google.
Oh, well.
How mental is that?
It's crazy.
I actually think that's crazy. Like, Google's been around for, like, so long, and TikTok's been around for, like, 5 years, and it's already taken over. I just think that's mental.
It's absolutely mental. It's the demographic, though, isn't it? I think this is where it's going to become more of a challenge as a digital marketer, is that... And I guess it's always been the case to an extent where people had less options. Like, I think back to when I was doing paid search, and we're going back 15, 16 years, and older people tended to use Bing, whereas younger people tended to use Google. The difference is now, younger people are on Snapchat, TikTok. There's a lot more platforms to be on. So depending on if you've got a product that appeals to lots of different, like beauty, for example, you can sell it to an 18-year-old or a 65-year-old, like everyone wants nice skin, right? But you're going to have totally different strategies to reach those different people. And I know we talk a lot as an agency about persona-based marketing and all that sort of stuff. And I think it's going to get more important because your audiences are going to be so wildly different. And like your young audience, like I said, have grown up with the internet and grown up with social media, and then your old audience haven't. And they're on totally different places. You look at demographics of Facebook versus TikTok versus Instagram versus Snapchat, and they're all quite different, aren't they? So I think it throws an interesting and exciting challenge, but one that we didn't really have years ago because none of these platforms existed.
I think I've always known it was a thing, but like the terms of like how old you are, so like Gen Z, Gen X, Gen Boomers, things like that.
Which
are you a boomer?
I don't know. I don't think so. What's the definition?
I think it's like you've got to be a certain age. So I know I'm Gen Z. Oh, voice search. Here we go.
When are boomers born? Let's see if it knows what I mean. Baby boomers started in 1946. Okay.
You're just a little bit older than that, so.
when did the boomer generation end? 1946 and 1964. So I'm absolutely not a boomer.
What year were you born?
I was born in 1982, so I'm a millennial, apparently.
You're a millennial?
Yeah, 1981 to 1996. Just snuck in.
And what am I? Gen Z.
What year were you born?
2000.
Yeah, Gen Z.
Gen Z, nice. And then what's now? Is it Gen X?
I don't know. It's 2012.
I think it's disgusting that, like, I'm genuinely starting to speak to people in my career and I'm saying, when were you born? I've had someone say the other day, 2008.
Oh.
What? 2008?
There was a footballer that made his debut for AC Milan this week that was born in 2015, so what would that be, 2008?
What?
Yeah. He made his professional debut at the age of 15, so he was born in 2008. That's just disgusting.
2008? What? Like, that makes me feel old, and that's just not on. Gross. Can you see anything that's going to change on social media at a platform level that's going to really, really make a massive difference?
I don't know, you're the social expert. I think threads will die a slow death. They've already backpedaled on the fact that if you delete your threads account, you lose your Instagram account, haven't they? They've already gone back on that. I just think it wasn't differentiated enough. It didn't offer anything that wasn't already out there, did it? I don't know. I mean, clearly video is getting more and more important, particularly in social, like TikTok's obviously driven that, but you know, my 8-9 year old, she'll be 9 tomorrow, day after. She watches YouTube Shorts all the time.
Really?
Yeah, she loves YouTube Shorts. So I think video content's going to keep getting more and more important.
I think it's really, but this is a separate point on the same point. I think it's really important in the career that we're in to keep young people involved and like recruited, because I think they have such a different outlook on stuff. Like, I think I've aged about 20 years in marketing terms. Honestly, like, working here for 4 years, my guidance is don't use Snapchat. No one uses it. But that's just because I don't use it and because I'm a little bit older than Gen X now. And then, like, when we went to that school, I said to, like, one of the kids that we were working with, how do you communicate? She was like, Snapchat. That's all I use. Like, I don't text. I don't do anything else. Snapchat. Like, it's crazy. But like, I think
to me, it feels really, really old-fashioned when someone texts me. So I'm like, come on.
Really? Get WhatsApp.
Get on WhatsApp. There's one person in this business that don't. I know, but kids are just Snapchat, aren't they? So it's,
Someone that I know who's got a kid, her and all of her school friends use WhatsApp as like what BBM used to be. Did you have BBM? Like,
not put BBM, add instant messenger, Windows Live Messenger.
MSN?
Yeah, that's it.
Nice. They use it like BBM and like they put a status on like don't message me having a bad day, like stuff like that on WhatsApp. What? And then I know someone else that was like, they asked their niece, you know, I'll go on Instagram all the time, what do you think of it? And they were like, you're old, Instagram's gone.
Absolutely.
It's crazy. Absolutely crazy. Disgusting. I think it's sad because I feel like platforms like Reddit are going to die, and I love Reddit.
I don't know, because it's quite a big, like, there's quite a big community feeling on there, isn't there? And I think it offers, I think it offers something different. It offers that community feel for like-minded people that I think you struggle to get elsewhere. Like, where else? If you really wanted to get into, let me think of a random hobby, koi carp breeding, you could go on Reddit and find a community of people and join that community. Like, where else are you going to find that, really?
Facebook groups. This is where I've gone to. I love Reddit so much, but I'm already off it.
Oh, yeah.
Like now, I'm part of a, I don't know if you've seen it, it's been in The Guardian recently. I'm part of a Weatherspoons The Game group. And you basically say, hi, I'm X, I'm in Weatherspoons in XYZ, this is why I'm here, send me some food and drinks. And then like a group of 10,000 people, a few people will just send you some food or send you some drinks. And now Weatherspoons are clocking onto it and being a bit like, stop.
I don't understand why they want people to stop. They're only getting money.
No, I know. But then I'm part of another one that's called like Petty Rage. And it's like things that really annoy you that's not very annoying. Or Dull Men's Club. I'm part of.
I've seen Dull Men's Club,
Dull Men's Club. There's so many groups that I'm part of and I feel like a proper little Chihuahua Lovers of the World Unite. Yeah. I'm in that. I remember before I was on a client call and I had to show an ad preview and it was on my Facebook. So I had to go onto my personal Facebook to show them and it was on the side and that you could see the client doing like the, oh my God, what is she doing?
Look at this one.
Look at this twerp. Yeah, but yeah.
Are we going to have to wrap up? Do you know why?
Because
I'm interviewing your replacement in about 5 minutes. So,
oh my God.
Or your potential replacement. We'll see how we get on. It's time for your final ever Liv's question.
Yeah.
I'm kind of worried about what this could be since it's the last one.
What are you going to miss most about me? No, it's not that. It is something that I saw on TikTok because I'm completely unoriginal. You are a spy or an FBI agent or something, and you have in your house a paperclip that's really important to someone. And basically, you've been hunted down for this paperclip. You have 10 minutes to hide this paperclip in the house whilst some other people come in and look for your house and try to find this paperclip. And if they find it, you die. And if they don't, you win. Where are you hiding it?
So I would open my garage, I'd get the paperclip and I'd just launch it and like good luck.
Remember they've got unlimited time to look for it.
You haven't seen the state of my garage.
Nice.
I can't find a pair of wellies that are in there, so if they can find a paperclip,
I don't think you're being as analytical as you need to be, because there's some answers on TikTok like I'd hide it in the filament of a light bulb.
I'd swallow it.
Well, no, because they'd give you the x-ray, yeah? Mine, you ready for this one? It's really good. I'd put it up the stem of a flower. How shocked are you? Obviously a spy.
Just x-ray the flower, surely.
Why would they x-ray flowers?
Well, they've got unlimited time. And if they've got unlimited time, the flower's going to die, wither away, and then the paperclip will be exposed.
Maybe they haven't got unlimited time then, just for the point of my...
If they haven't got limited time, I'm definitely just chucking it in the garage.
Chucking it in the garage.
Good luck to you.
Someone else said putting it in another pack of paper clips. Clever. But then again, I mean, who has paper clips? Just a box of paper clips lying around? I bet you do, don't you? In the garage.
No, I don't think I do. Not paper clips.
What's the craziest thing you've got in your garage? I'm really intrigued to see this messy garage now.
Oh, it's awful. What's in there? There's a chopped up wooden pallet that I'm going to burn. There's an old washing machine. There's a tent. There's a roof box. There's a few bikes. There's a rack full of old coats that I keep telling myself I'll wear those in the winter. And then every year passes by and I don't put them on. There's some tools. There's some old offcuts of carpet. And I think I'll keep them because they might be useful. They've never been useful yet. Shoes.
Big garage.
It's sort of a double garage. It's not quite a double garage.
That's good.
But you can't get a car in because it's just, there's the weights bench and stuff like that.
I was just about to say, any like treadmills or anything in there?
You can't use the weights bench anymore because it's just surrounded by rubbish.
Nice.
Yeah.
Love it.
Right, it's time to wrap up, isn't it? And say one final farewell to you, Liv. We're going to ruthlessly and rapidly replace you. It's going to be a new co-host, which I believe is going to be Steph. I think it's been on a couple, hasn't she? We're probably going to slightly change up the style of the podcast as well, to have less guests and a bit more discussion. But that wraps us up for for the year. It wraps us up for the Olivia Green era. Season one, we'll call it. Season two is going to be back stronger. Not Pretty Crunch.
Whoa!
but yeah, again, Liv, thanks for hosting this. I'll obviously say a proper bye to you in the office. But yeah, thanks for being my co-host. And for the listeners, thank you for listening. Give us a follow on your favourite platform. Give us a nice review. Give Liv a nice parting review, definitely. That can be your leaving me to And have a lovely Christmas.
Thank you, everybody. Thanks. It's been a pleasure being a co-host. Bye.
Cheers, bye.